Great. I was doing my homework, and I, of course, searched a lot of Plague of Carcosa. There are so many mentions, so many stuff, so many news, even in like some German websites, German metal news websites. And also in forums, whenever someone is looking for a new doom band, you can literally like find sentences like Plague of Carcosa is for you. And yeah, so I'm a bit excited to be interviewing you guys. And I would like to say thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure. Great. It's not every day someone wants to talk to us about what we do. So.
Well, yeah, thank you for reaching out. By the way, it was really nice. It's a great opportunity. Yeah. So I won't be too cliche, but I would very much like to start with the question or a bit of a Wikipedia history section. Could you guys tell me a bit about the history? How have you come to Plague of Carcosa?
Yeah, so around 2015, 2016, I was sitting alone in my apartment. My punk band had broken up, so I was listening to some Bong Ripper and thought, I want to do something like this. So I brought my guitar to a shop, tuned it down very low, and then got an audio interface and made the first EP. I had thought of the band name. I don't know how or why. It just sounded really cool and it stuck. First EP was just me in my bedroom. After that, I started finding local musicians to, kind of work on the next releases with. Did some more experimental stuff on my own as well. Eventually, made a couple, single releases with Haster Rats and then the EP Ocean. After recording Ocean, everybody left. Everybody moved away to either Virginia or New Jersey. So I was alone again. And then I met Alexander, and we've been working together since, November 19, right before COVID, thereabouts. And yeah, I guess just to kind of, Wikipedia style talk about what's coming next. We've been talking about, doing more shows out of town, changing our sound a little bit to include a little bit more of a drone influence, like the early recordings. We just put out a new EP for Halloween, just a little something to kind of show we're still alive. Because it's been, a couple of years since the last thing we put up on Bandcamp. So, yeah, we've done that, and that's kind of where we're going. So, yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Alexander, would you have something to add? You joined later. Would you have anything to say?
Yeah, coming into someone else's band is always kind of a... it can be tough, but it's been great. It's been a little bit of an adjustment, learning songs that were written before I was around. But thankfully, there's enough room for me to kind of play with the structures a little bit and kind of bring my own taste and bring my own style into the old stuff, and now we're working on the new stuff, and that's even better.
Yeah, I think if we tried right now, we could do a set of entirely new stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So just a few days ago, I think the very end of October, you released Dreamcast of Unknown Kadath after 2 years. Before we get into it, how was your last 2 years since Ocean is More Ancient Than the Mountains? I know you were still active. 2020, January, April, and of course the live art performance July this year, I think. Was it very often live shows, or did you also at one point just step back to work on new stuff?
Well, I don't feel like stepping back to work on new stuff was, you know, a planned thing. I think everybody was kind of taken by surprise throughout that little time frame. The first few months of the pandemic, we really didn't do a whole lot. We were kind of waiting to see, like, oh, is it going to be safe to, you know, sit in a 10 square foot room for a couple hours together. But after a while, we just started getting back to it, and we've been writing for the majority of the pandemic, really. And we've got, a couple new things that, have resulted in that we've been doing live. I think we just started playing live again. When was our first show? September?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so since September. So just around 2 months now, we've been playing out around Chicago more.
Just been taking it pretty slow.
Yeah, I don't think, anything's really been a bad time. I would say we had a I don't want to say a good time during the pandemic, but we had a productive time, I think. America is in a really weird state right now with the pandemic. I won't touch on the political here, not the place for that. But it's to a point where we can, start safely playing out more. And we've kind of been taking advantage of that just maybe once, twice a month. That's kind of pretty much what we've been up to in a nutshell, really just writing and more recently playing again. Like I said, we'll start trying to get out of town more for shows, do little weekend runs. So yeah, that's what we've been up to the past, since Oceans.
Yeah. Alexander, anything from your aspect?
No, nothing really super specific to add. I do dip my toes into like a bunch of other kinds of music, so I've been able to kind of pick back up releasing other people's music and playing kind of more jazz-leaning improvised stuff, and slowly getting back into things after taking a break for a year and 8 months or 9 months that I don't think anybody really wanted to take.
Yeah. So could you give me a bit about the new release, Dream Quest of Unknown Kadat? I personally would like to say the names fully because they sound great. So also great job for that. What could you tell me about the recording, the process, your motivation to do that?
I guess I'll tee this one off just by saying to the point of our names, everything's taken from Lovecraft. We're, big Lovecraft influence band. As far as the actual, EP itself, Alex, I'll let you field that one.
Yeah, so I guess I have a pretty decent project studio in our rehearsal space. So I've been able to use that for a few different projects over the course of the past few years, and it was really fun to get some really heavy sounds going in that room and get them recorded well.
Great.
I think as far as the actual composition of the EP goes, kind of like we said in the releases, the first track, the first track on there is a demo of, a new song kind of showcasing this new direction we're taking. You can hear there's a particular pedal called EHX Super Ego Plus that's all over there. that kind of lends itself to, you know, just holding a note and walking away. So I think that one is kind of our mission statement for the EP, if you will. And then the second track, that one was intended to be kind of a riff on the old release Ritual One. It was just a 12-minute improv drone piece that we kind of just put together. You know, it's just a fun little exercise to do, and, you know, the fans get something out of it. So, yeah, the, you know, I don't think we planned for this for a really long time. We got the idea to do the improv piece, and we're like, oh, we could also do another new song. And we thought, yeah, oh, we should record these and put them out for Halloween. That'd be fun. I think we spent two weeks on the whole thing. Yeah. But, you know, it came out well, and, you know, we're happy with it. And, you know, we'll probably do more stuff like this in the future. We have more songs we can record from there. If people, you know, like what they hear and they want us to keep going down that road. Obviously, we still have a great relationship with Andy from Bricktop and Dennis from Comatose, and we're, you know, looking at new studios to do proper recordings at. But, you know, for now, can't hurt to put out demos and, you know, show everyone we're still alive.
By the way, where is the artwork from? I know the previous one is from this Polish artist.
Yes, Bekinski. Everything except for Ritual One is from Bekinski. Alexander, great. You
this put very together specific detail of
works. Okay.
Yeah, usually we just use the whole piece, but for this one, we just cropped a section of it.
Now that I'm in the band, I'm making everything different, changing up.
So. Ocean is more ancient than the mountains. 2019. The label is Slash Lord Records from UK, and mastered by Dennis Blackham from Bone Tripper.
Yep.
How did all that happen? How was the process, and what was the experience of working with him?
Oh, it was fantastic. So we have been going to Bricktop Studios for a while, which is, you know, a big Chicago metal studio. So the engineer we work with there, we worked with him for Haster, Rats, and Ocean. Haster was mastered by Brett at Audio Siege, who I know Kurt Bayou sends a lot of his stuff to. So he's done a lot of big names. That was pretty, you know, that was a good experience. That was painless. I reached out to Dennis for Rats and Ocean, just because I know he has a studio and I know that, you know, Bong Ripper records there. So he knows how to get kind of that like heavy, dense sound that we're looking for out of mastering. So we worked with him. And yeah, he's been fantastic. Really good rates, really, you know, polite person. Definitely, you know, if you have any recording, mixing, or mastering needs, we'd recommend either of them. And then it's worth noting that Dennis actually builds pedals too. So he built me a clone of the Life pedal that I used on the new EP. So yeah, we have a pretty decent, you know, working relationship with Bong Ripper there. So we'd love to be able to open for him sometime. That's been a bucket list item for a while. So yeah.
Great. One question for both of you. When a genre becomes popular, there are obviously downsides and upsides. Like, of course, it becomes popular and there's more space for the creators, but also it becomes popular. And my observation is that unless I was looking the other way, sludge and doom region, the genre is becoming more and more popular. It has, even like, let's say on Instagram, It has its own domain and scene. How do you guys see this?
Growing up in the punk scene, I think there's a lot of parallels between, you know, the punk and the sludge scene you can draw. There's also a lot of overlap as well. Growing up kind of doing all the booking and promo for the bands I was in, admittedly, I got very burnt out on paying attention to and keeping up with the scene, so to say. So nowadays, I mean, it's not really something that at least I think about or pay a ton of attention to. This is something that I've always just kind of done for me. So I don't, you know, I'll read reviews sometimes, but really, I mean, you know, obviously we want a healthy scene and there's a lot of great friends we have, but it's not, you know, not something that I actively think about, you know, going about my day. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah, I don't.
Definitely.
Alexander, do you have a different take on that? I don't.
No, not really. I think it is nice when, like, your work is appreciated, and it's nice when you have like a group of other bands that you can kind of feed from. Like, having a supportive scene is always great, like, regardless of how big the genre is. And just, it is, I think, metal and extreme music in general is getting more popular, like, everywhere. But I think there's a lot of reasons for that. There's, like, the, you know, the last couple of years that everyone has had has been, like, bleak, and people want to get that music out, you know? Like, that bleak life experience is so well-suited to, like, extreme music. But yeah, it's been really wonderful, like, seeing the scene grow and not having to play with the same five bands every time, like, getting to work with more people, getting to open for touring acts as they're coming through now again. It's been great.
Yeah, there's definitely a good sense of solidarity. But I mean, with regards to us, we'd still be doing this if there was no scene for it around Chicago. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, shout out to all our friends. And, you know, it's a great scene. It's just not something that when we write songs or book shows, we think, oh, you know, this is going to be great for the scene. So, I don't really know what else more to say other than that.
That's a great take, yeah.
Yeah, there's tons of great local bands around Chicago, too, and they're all fantastic people. You know, we've been really fortunate that everyone we've met and played with has been, you know, supremely, you know, polite and fantastic and, you know, never met a single jerk. So, it's been good.
Great. Any musicians, bands, artists outside Doom Sludge region that you like, that you might also have as a inspiration for your music or for yourself only?
For myself, there was a punk band from New York called the World Inferno Friendship Society. They're a ragtag group of anarchist cabaret punk rock musicians. It was a really weird eclectic mix, and they always had, like, you know, 10 people in the band at any given time, but their singer just passed, so this Halloween was a pretty, you know, melancholy one for me. I've been following them since I was a kid. Huge impact on my life. So his name is Jack, singer. Jack was a huge personal influence on me. Other than that, outside the, metal scene, like I said, I grew up listening to punk rock. So I've been going through a lot of my old records lately, listening to stuff like the Prudentials and Off With Their Heads. I've been listening to a lot of Chumbawamba lately. Beirut's good if you want some, like, you know, world folk music. A lot of hip hop, rap. Yeah, and then Alexander, what you've been listening to?
Francis the Mute is always like, it's never too far from what I'm doing. Kieran Hebden and Steve Reed, it's a jazz kind of electronic duo. Fantastic Plastic Machine, I think it's like a Japanese producer, if I'm remembering it correctly. But it's like a weird kind of sample based, not like trip hop, but not, it's good. It's, I think the album's called Luxury that I've been listening to a lot. Birchville Cat Motel is a drone project that I really like. Been listening to a lot of Afrobeat lately. I think that's been my recent listens.
Great. So Eric, one question from me personally. Your guitar looks fucking sick. Does it have a story? Does it have a background?
No. I like green. I play a green guitar amp. Green is also the color of Cthulhu's tentacles. So yeah, just during the pandemic, just got bored and here I am. It's been this way for like 2 years now.
Great.
And I had Mohawks like my whole life. So yeah, this isn't anything new, but.
Great. I have a question for Alexander, but it's an uneducated question. So please forgive me if it just sounds stupid. I was watching you guys live, and okay, obviously this genre is not fusion jazz or ska, it's doom, it's slower, but
sure.
when I listen to you or watch you, I don't know the word, but maybe you can understand me, the rhythms are so it's fulfilling and it's flowing, it's engaging. Okay, engaging is our word. What can you say about drumming, like in doom, and how do you make it engaging for a listener like me? And what do you personally aim to achieve when you play Plague of Carcosa?
I'm very glad that that's coming across. I want my drum parts to be engaging. I want them to bring something to the music. That's part of the reason why I wanted to bring this kind of electronic element and the, you know, the drone sections and kind of like stretching the structures and kind of playing with like what we do. All of that is to kind of make music that we are happy with in the band, but like personally that I'm happy with. Like I want to enjoy playing it. I want to write parts that feel natural, and that can highlight like certain flourishes in the moments in the guitar riffs, like using fills to do a little more than just moving from like the verse to the chorus, like using kind of, it sounds maybe a little pretentious, but like using the drum part to try to be more like narrative.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that that's some of that is maybe coming across, that it's definitely more than just me counting to four and, you know, playing the bass and the snare over and over.
My advice for anybody starting a band or looking for a drummer is find yourself a drummer that doesn't normally play the style of music that you are going to play.
Great advice. Yes.
Oh, I didn't really think about that. I definitely don't come from like a heavy background. This is, I guess, like my first or second band, like in my teens, was a metal band. But since then, it's been everything but, and not for any real reason. It's just that's kind of the way that things have gone. I was playing a lot of like free improv before I joined Blake of Carcosa. So maybe some of that like weirdo jazz stuff is leaking into the drum stuff.
You're not the first drummer I played with that's like, oh, this style's brand new to me, and I always love how that works out. So, yeah.
Great. Any plans for live shows outside USA, Europe? Hopefully Germany, somewhere close to the place I live in.
You know, very truthfully, if we had the money to fly over, then yeah, we definitely could do that, and we should make that happen someday. I don't know. We always got a lot of random attention from countries in Europe, and after we put out Oceans on Sludge Lord, because they're from the UK, you know, all that blew up. So we definitely love to get over there, and I think, you know, we definitely could book something there. It's just a question of, you know, finding $2,000 or $3,000 to fly across the ocean.
Yeah.
If anyone in Europe wants to bring us, then we'll definitely come. Got my passport.
That will be amazing. That will be great. Lovecraft. I consider myself to be a book lover, but there's a huge hole. I've never read one Lovecraft book. What would you recommend to a beginner like me who would like to get into the world?
Oh boy. The first Lovecraft piece I ever read was At the Mountains of Madness. I think that's a good introduction because it follows a more traditional narrative. It showcases his elements of cosmic horror, you know, the implication that there are things out there in the universe that are beyond our comprehension. And most importantly, you know, he was a writer from the 20s and 30s, so Mountains of Madness isn't too long. It's maybe like 30 pages. You know, my dad is a big reader. He's got a PhD in philosophy of education. He tried to read some Lovecraft when he was younger, and he just couldn't get past the writing style. You know, it's par for the course for the 30s. So I would suggest maybe starting with some of his later work, just to kind of avoid that, you know, 1915 old-timey dialect. Let's see, Dunwich Horror would also be a good one. Call of Cthulhu. If you want to see the Big C, that's a classic. It's three short little chapters. You could probably get through it in about an hour. The only one I might stay away from as a first read would be The Case of Charles Dexter Ward, just because that one is like 100 pages, and there's a lot of the story where it's just the main character walking around, you know, Providence, Rhode Island. So I might maybe start with some of his later ones. Like I said, Mountains of Madness was my first. I think that'd be a good introduction.
Great. Alexander, do you have any recommendation?
No, I think all that was good. Starting with something short is a good idea.
Yeah. What can we followers, fans, mortals, look forward to? What comes next from Plague of Carcosa?
Well, let's see. We should be playing at a local bar on Saturday. I have not heard anything about that yet, so I'm honestly waiting to see if that's going to happen or not. Other than that, we're going to be doing a benefit show for the wife of somebody from another local metal band. She has some medical bills to pay because America. So we're doing a benefit show for her at Livewire Lounge. So if anyone from Chicago is listening to this, we'll be there for Steve from Of Wolves, his wife's benefit show on December 3rd. But other than that, yeah, we'll just be, you know, tomorrow or Friday, we'll just be doing some more writing in the practice space. We might do a recording of Sarnath, another new one from the live set we did last year. And yeah, just, you know, new material.
Great. Guys, thank you so much. Usually I would ask you where we can find you in the internet, but you are everywhere. So many news, so many mentions about you, so many playlist creations, including Vidian Volume 1. So we can find you on Bandcamp page, Facebook, Instagram, of course, Spotify. Anything else? Any other mentions?
There's somebody sharing the whole catalog on Soulseek. I saw that yesterday.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yay!
Peer-to-peer file sharing. Still
yay! Cool. People like us.
Oh, yes, they do.
Was it before we put out Kadath, or?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'll have to log back in and check and see if they
I have Soulseek installed on my work computer, so I'll fire that up once we're done with this call.
Great. Guys, thank you so much for your time. These were my questions. Anything else that you would like to add for conclusion?
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure. We do see the kind words people leave, and that means the world to us. So, if you want to say anything to us, we do see it, good or bad. thank you as always for listening, and we appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.